This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Do you know what drug companies can and cannot say when they advertise their products? Do you know if these rules are the same for print and online advertising, or if they're different? Do you know anyone who knows? I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of the DIA Global Forum. Today, I welcome two experts who surely know the answers to these and many other related questions. Micheline Awad is Director of Regulatory Affairs, Advertising and Promotion for Neurocrine Biosciences. Micheline, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And Wayne Pines, who is President, Regulatory Services and Healthcare for APCO Worldwide. Wayne, good to have you back.
Thank you, Alberto. Look forward to talking with you.
Micheline and Wayne have both served on the program committee for DIA's Advertising and Promotion Regulatory Affairs Conference, and I'm delighted that they can join me today to discuss these topics in some depth based on their great experience in this field. So, first question, Wayne, if I could start with you, what aspects of medical advertising and promotion do patients and doctors need to understand better and more fully?
As you suggested in your introductory remarks, not too many people understand the rules of medical advertising and promotion at all. For example, I don't know of any lay people, so to speak, who understand that the direct-to-consumer advertising that they see on television is heavily regulated by the FDA, whereas information posted by non-drug companies, by just individuals or others, either on the internet or on talk shows on television, is not regulated, and it has a much lower degree of scrutiny and accuracy. I don't think that people understand that advertising that comes from the drug industry or the device industry is reviewed by the FDA word for word, picture for picture, nuance for nuance, and so it has to be accurate, otherwise it's a violation of the FDA law, whereas the other advertising is not regulated if it comes from certain companies. I don't think that people understand the distinction between prescription drug advertising and advertising for over-the-counter drugs, which has a different standard. So I don't think that consumers understand at all that the information they receive from drug companies has to meet a certain standard of accuracy and truthfulness, whereas other information that they might get from other sources doesn't have to meet that same standard. With regard to healthcare professionals, I think it's the same thing. They don't understand that the advertising that they see from drug companies is so heavily regulated, and the advertising or other promotion that they might see from other sources is not. And then finally, I don't think that doctors these days, especially academic doctors, appreciate the role of the drug companies. The sales reps, who now in many cases are not allowed to visit academic institutions, they provide a lot of information about the research that companies are doing and about the new drugs. And I think that doctors are missing out when they don't listen or don't receive visits from the sales representatives. The doctor should be knowledgeable enough to distinguish between information they want and information that they don't want, but they certainly should not exclude any particular source of the information, especially when it comes from a drug company, which is so heavily regulated.
When you mentioned over-the-counter medicines being regulated somewhat differently when it comes to advertising and promotion, how differently are they regulated, if at all?
Well, direct-to-consumer advertising on television for prescription drugs is regulated, as I mentioned before, word for word, picture for picture by the FDA. The Federal Trade Commission oversees the advertising for over-the-counter drugs. Over-the-counter drugs don't have to disclose any side effects. Very often they tout studies that have not been validated. And so, you know, the information just isn't as comprehensive and as reliable, in my view, as it is for prescription drugs.
So consumers and patients and doctors could presume that prescription drugs advertising is correct and accurate, if not necessarily complete in the brief context of a television ad. Whereas over-the-counter medication advertising may be less accurate, less complete?
I think that is correct. And you watch television sometimes in the middle of the night and you see advertising for vitamin products and other alleged healthcare products, and you see that the claims that are being made there, then you see that a lot of them are not accurate at all and not based on any clinical studies at all. So the point I want to make is that I don't think that the consumer and most people can distinguish between the accuracy of the various types of promotion that they see. And I think it is important that they understand that information that is sponsored by drug companies for prescription drugs does have to meet a very high standard set by the FDA.
Micheline, if I could ask you to comment on this question, again, you work in the industry. So from your perspective, is there a need to help patients and doctors understand advertising of prescription drugs in particular better and more fully? What do you think?
That's a great question, Alberto. But before I answer, I must say that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are my personal views and do not represent the views of my employer.
I agree with what Wayne said, and I want to add to it in a sense that, for example, when he's talking about broadcast ads, we usually have to submit the storyboards to FDA so they can review them and provide comments. So it's a collaboration between FDA and the industry on what is included in the commercial. Most patients don't realize that, and they don't know, some physicians don't realize that either. Now, speaking on physicians specifically, some physicians know that it's a highly regulated industry, that we have to balance safety information and efficacy information. And there are certain information that you can't talk about, for example, off-label information, off-label promotion. And if we fail to do that, there are some serious consequences for us in the industry. Now, HCPs know that, well, most of them know that because of the interaction with the sales representative. They know that reps shouldn't talk about off-label, and if they have questions, they can reach out to the company, usually through a medical science liaison person who can provide additional context if possible. From a patient perspective, I think it's a little bit more difficult because patients don't realize how scrutinized we are and how difficult it is to see certain information. And it is more challenging for us, but I think there's some information that patients can get to understand that. FDA has some information on their website to explain advertising for certain products. And I think that's kind of helpful.
Let me stay with you, Micheline, to ask another question. And later I would ask Wayne to comment as well. The US and New Zealand, to my knowledge, are the only two countries in the world where advertising and promotion of prescription drugs is allowed by law. It's something that does not happen in the rest of the world, but it does happen in the US and in New Zealand. Given that this is the age of patient engagement and greater patient involvement in their own health care, including use of medicines, are there any opportunities to engage patients, at least in the US, in discussions about how healthcare products should be promoted in the US? Is this something that should be considered, done? If so, how?
I think it would be a great idea if we can involve the patient a little bit more. And I think there are some opportunities. So, for example, the industry has some market research opportunities that they lead, and FDA does that as well sometimes to try to understand, are the consumers, for example, understanding the commercials, is the safety information enough or is it too much information that we're providing? So there is market research opportunities out there where the patients can be involved in. Another option is, for example, social media. You can have a live feed where, or a group discussion with patients, try to get their understanding or feedback from them about either a disease state or a condition or a specific product. And it doesn't all have to be industry-led. It could be using patient focus groups, for example, or advocacy groups. In other ways, do you use online surveys as an option or emailing patients to get more information from for a specific disease? So there are ways for us to reach out. It's just challenging to reach out to patients. And one way, in my opinion, that could be a possibility is to really reach out to the patient advocacy groups because they have a group of patients they're already in touch with. And if there's a way for us to reach out to them, that's one way we can get the patients more involved.
Do you have a sense, Micheline, as to whether patients appreciate seeing so much television advertising of prescription drugs? Any sense of whether they like it, not like it?
It's kind of interesting to hear what they say sometimes about commercials. But with this day and age, a lot of times people record their shows and they just skip over ads. So they're not necessarily always watching these ads. I don't really have anything specific to say about that because I don't have a good understanding of it.
Wayne, in your experience and observation, do you have a perspective on that question?
You know, we all hear about people who make fun of the ads. Doctors often don't like them because they feel that it provides information that they would rather share with the patients themselves. So I don't know that DTC advertising is as popular. I don't, actually, I don't have any data on that. It's just a sense that one has. They're certainly prominent. People of a certain age have the opportunity to watch a lot of them. DTC advertising on television appears only on programs where the drug is suitably advertised. So if you're seeing a lot of ads for prescription drugs, that you're in the target audience where the drug companies feel that you may, you know, be needing more and more prescription drugs. But in any event, I don't think it's popular. But DTC advertising is here to stay. I'm not aware of FDA ever having taken a negative attitude toward DTC advertising since it authorized it back in the late 1990s. I hear a lot of people at the FDA say that it has value in educating consumers. I personally have been involved in watching the policy develop. When I was at FDA, I helped evolve a lot of these policies. And I believe that the more information that's in the marketplace that is reliable, it's very important for consumers to have it. If you were to eliminate DTC advertising, then consumers, in terms of understanding drugs, would be at the mercy of the internet, which has, as I mentioned before, a lot of misinformation about healthcare and about drug products. We would be at the mercy of blogs where people talk about their own personal experiences, whether positive or negative. And that's not the most reliable information. So I feel that it serves a valuable purpose. Going back to your first question, what do consumers need to understand and what do healthcare professionals need to understand, even as they are skeptical or appear to be skeptical about some of the advertising, they really, really need to appreciate the value that it provides to consumers as well as to healthcare professionals.
Thank you for that. I'm tempted to ask you the following question. FDA approved a record number of innovative drugs in 2018, 59, the highest ever. If all of those drugs are going to be promoted on television, are we going to be saturating the airwaves? Is there TV room for all of these 59 drugs as well as the ones that preceded them? Are we reaching a saturation point here? Micheline, what is your perspective from the industry point of view? Too many drugs to advertise at this point? Is the field too crowded?
I don't think so. I mean, right now there are a lot of drugs that are approved already, but they don't have television ads. So I think it depends on the drug and who your target market is. Although you are going to have multiple products, they're not all targeting the same patient population. And like Wayne was saying earlier, TV commercials are selected and targeting certain patient population around certain times. So there might be a TV show that certain patient population demographic watch it, so they're going to try to target that specific drug towards that patient population, hoping that they'll get to see it. So I don't think it's going to be saturated. I don't think all these products are going to be on TV. I think some of them might be, but probably not all of them.
Wayne, let me come back to you. FDA enforces its regulations on drug advertising and promotion. In terms of trends over the years, has that enforcement increased of late, decreased of late, stayed about the same? Since you used to work at FDA, you have a particular feel for this. How is FDA enforcing these regulations today relative to the past?
Let me comment on your earlier question, and then I'll get to that. About a third of the drugs that FDA is approving these days are orphan products, which have very, very narrow patient populations. And they're not going to be on television because that's not the best medium for reaching those patients. And increasingly, there will be more and more orphan products approved as we learn more about genetics and more about the biology of disease. And so I don't think that we're going to saturate the network. Some people think that we're saturated now, but there's always room, and the networks only sell a limited amount of their time. What is more likely to be the outcome is not that they will increase the time dedicated toward DTC advertising, but rather they'll just raise their rate so that they can charge more and control the timing that way. With regard to enforcement, FDA's enforcement policies have evolved over the years, and everybody who is following this area knows that in 2017 and 2018, OPDP, the Office of Prescription Drug Promotion, issued a total of only 13 letters. In previous years, they averaged
warning letters?
20. Yeah, warning letters or untitled letters. categorize them as enforcement letters, whereas in previous years, they averaged 25 or so. And a lot of people point to that as being less enforcement. What's most important in this area is some statements that have been made by some FDA officials. And at the DIA meeting at the end of February, Tom Abrams mentioned this as well. He talked about a somewhat different standard for enforcement. Very brief history, because DIA has been somewhat involved in this. Last February's meeting, I'm talking about February 2018, Becky Wood, who was then the general counsel of FDA, talked about the fact that FDA increasingly, in deciding what enforcement actions to take in the ad promo area, was going to focus more on the public health impact of the advertising and whether it really had an impact on patient care. Technical violations, so to speak, that had no public health implications were much lower on the priority list. In September of 2018, Janet Woodcock, the head of the Center for Drugs, made a similar statement at a meeting of the Alliance for a Stronger FDA. Tom Abrams in February 2019 made a similar statement. So we have the agency having indicated that it's shifting gears a little bit. And from an enforcement standpoint, it's looking more toward the public health implications, the public health impact of the advertising, rather than just for technical violations. And that's in a very, very important shift in the way that the FDA is thinking about its enforcement activities. It remains to be seen how long that lasts, because with changes of administration, you can have different attitudes. But for the time being, that's the agency's approach.
Is there a possibility that industry has become more compliant with the advertising and promotion regulations, such that warning letters and other letters become less necessary?
I don't know about statistical evidence. I believe that that's the case. It used to be that when DTC advertising was on television, which is being introduced, you know, a significant percentage of the enforcement letters issued by DDMAC and then OPDP were about DTC advertising. Ever since companies have been submitting their DTC advertising in advance for advisory opinions, there's been a very, very significant decline in the number of letters, which indicates a higher level of compliance to begin with. I think also the corporate integrity agreements that a lot of the companies signed, which imposed certain requirements on them in terms of promotion, has had a significant impact. So I do think that the level of compliance and the level of knowledge within the companies is higher than it's been. And I think that also accounts for why there have been fewer letters.
Micheline, if I can ask you a different question. Drug pricing. Okay. Pricing of drugs these days, of course, is a subject of great debate among all relevant stakeholders. So my question is, has this debate about drug pricing had any impact on drug advertising and promotion and how they are regulated?
I think we'll have to see how this plays out. You know, the proposed HHS rule that required pricing disclosures in commercials was issued last year, but we have yet to see any guidance from FDA on this topic and how that's going to impact the environment. For example, we know Lilly was the first pharmaceutical company to add pricing information to a TV commercial, and they want to do that as well for other commercials by the end of February. And a couple of weeks ago, J&J was another company that added pricing information for Xarelto, which included the list price as well as the potential out-of-pocket costs for patients. We're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen, how that's going to change the commercial. I know Pharma Guidelines as well issued some guidelines, and it will take into effect in April of this year. The challenge with having pricing information in a commercial, you know, including a list price, I don't know how patients will perceive that, because they don't really know the difference between what they may or may not end up paying. And that's a challenge, I think, for including pricing.
It's a very dynamic and fluid situation, of course. And do you think, and this may be speculative, if one or two companies, you know, volunteer to show pricing of their medicines on primetime television, for example, does that implicitly force other companies to do the same and follow suit? Or are these companies going to be standalone? Again, I appreciate this can be very speculative, but I'm curious about your thoughts.
Yeah. This is, of course, my opinion. It's going to depend on the product and the company and who's going to do it. And like I mentioned, if they're following pharma guidelines, they may have to do it by April anyway. But give you a hypothetical example. So if you have two drugs, and let's just assume out-of-pocket cost is $10 and $20, just for simplicity's sake. A patient sees these two commercials and they're thinking, well, they're the same drug. This one's going to cost me $10. Of course, I want this product. But they may not understand or realize that maybe that product that costs $10 has a box warning or some drug-to-drug interactions with certain medications they're taking or a contraindication to a condition they have. So you can't just assume that a price is the way for you to go to get a product or purchase a medication. There are other consequences that have to be considered and looked at as well in a broader perspective. And just looking at a specific price, in my opinion, is a little bit of a narrow perspective.
Thank you for that perspective. Again, I appreciate that this is a very rapidly evolving field and there's a lot of speculation around. So thank you for being willing to speculate with us. Wayne, coming back to you on the same topic, you're a former regulator, and as we know, FDA doesn't get involved in drug pricing per se. So if companies begin to include drug pricing information in, say, television advertising and promotion, where does FDA's enforcement begin and end?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand that it is not the FDA that has proposed this rule. It's Medicare that has proposed this rule. So, mm-hmm. You know, Medicare controls the purse strings for a lot of drugs. And if they feel that there are violations, they can impact a drug quite significantly. Of course, FDA would look at the accuracy of the information, the reliability of the information, because that's within their jurisdiction. And so I think that moving forward, we're going to have two enforcement bodies. One is CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and secondly, the FDA. I quite agree with both of your conclusions, and that is that this is evolving quite rapidly. We don't know where it's going to wind up. We don't know how many companies are going to feel comfortable advertising their products or the context. You know, one company, Lilly, is posting pricing on its website. Another company, J&J, is going to be putting it in advertising. We don't know where that's going to wind up. We don't know whether there will be legal challenges to final rule. Again, this is evolving rapidly. You know, one other point that I would make, and that is we're moving very quickly on drug price issues in Washington. The president has mentioned it many, many times as a priority of his. HHS Secretary Alex Azar considers it a priority. Commissioner Scott Gottlieb at FDA considers it a priority. Everybody regards it as a priority. But we really haven't studied in any systematic way the impact on the patient or on drug use or on understanding drug pricing of being more transparent about drug prices. And I think that what we really need is more study, more understanding of the impact as we're moving forward in such a rapid way.
Wayne, remind us just briefly, what is the Medicare rule on drug pricing, just in a few words?
What they've said is that DTC advertising should include the list price of the product. And, you know, again, we'll see what happens in any final rule, but that's essentially what they have proposed.
Very good. Well, we're going to leave it at that. I want to thank you both for joining me today for a very fascinating conversation. Micheline Awad, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Wayne Pines, thank you as well. Always good to be with you and to be continued.
Absolutely.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.